So again, happy Feast of Pentecost. It's a beautiful, beautiful feast day. At the end of our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the pilgrims in Jerusalem are amazed because they hear the disciples speaking in all the languages of the world. It's a sign that the church is meant to be Catholic with a lowercase c. They're universal. But notice the last phrase in that first reading. We hear them speaking of the mighty acts of God. That's the content of the proclamation, is the mighty acts of God. They weren't speaking in all those languages so that they could make small talk with others. Hey, what's the weather like in Malaysia? What kind of crops do you grow in Bhutan? No. Those are fine questions. But rather, we want to pay attention to the mighty acts of God on a daily basis. How much do we pay attention to those? And what would be an example of a mighty act of God in your life recently? So I'm a sinner, of course. Hopefully, that's not a surprise. I went to confession last Sunday and experienced the act of God's forgiveness and healing mercy. Mighty act of God. And over the past 10 years, I think of some of the habits of sin that the Lord has enabled me to break. Gives me hope that in the midst of my continued sinful habits, mighty act of God. In just a few minutes, we'll all witness the mighty act of God in this Holy Eucharist. Every time we pray the Creed, and we bow when we mention the descent of the Holy Spirit, we're bowing at a mighty act of God, the Incarnation. During the Eucharistic prayer, when the priest stretches his hands over the gifts and prays for the descent of the Holy Spirit, and when we have a deacon, the deacon falls on his knees, and we ring the bells, rejoicing in the mighty act of God to transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. The mighty acts of God are still among us, still happening. We should talk about them more often. When we were baptized, beautiful, mighty act of God, not only the incoming of the Holy Spirit, incredible that, but by the power of that incoming Holy Spirit, we became Jesus. Did you know that? That you're Jesus. On Pentecost Day, that was one of the beautiful things. Peter becomes Jesus. John becomes Jesus. Philip becomes Jesus. When the Father looks upon the baptized, he sees his beloved Son in all these beloved sons and daughters. Christianity is not just something that happened a long time ago. It's not just about what happened to Jesus. It's about Jesus continuing to be present and to act in you and me. And that's what happened today. This is why we get so excited. It's beautiful that Mary conceived as a virgin. The God-man inside of her. Incredible. It's powerful that Jesus, the miracles that Jesus worked, and his sacrifice on the cross, incredible. His resurrection from the dead, powerful. His ascension to the right hand of the Father, great. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is what we celebrate today, that you become Jesus, and you become Jesus, and you become Jesus, and I become Jesus. And it's continued, alive, today. In our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we read that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So in the course of a single day, do we acknowledge or proclaim that Jesus is Lord? What a beautiful way to stir up the Holy Spirit within us. St. Paul teaches us more about the Holy Spirit when he says that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, different forms of service, but the same Lord, different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. He doesn't say, sometimes is given, may be given, is given to each individual. For everyone who's baptized, we have a guarantee from the Lord that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, working within you, has given you a spiritual gift, some form of service that you're able to do for others and for the church. So of the spiritual gifts, maybe you have the gift of faith. Maybe you are able to launch out on some new project just trusting that the Lord will take care of you. Maybe it's the gift of love, where you're able to see and desire the good of others and to work for that good, even in the midst of struggles. Maybe it's the gift of prayer, where you love to intercede for others. Maybe it's the gift of encouragement of others. Maybe it's the gift of harmony with others. You just have that knack of being able to bring people together. Maybe you have a form of service that's quiet and behind the scenes, where you love to serve another or others quietly. Maybe your form of service is here at Mass in one of the liturgical ministries. Maybe your form of service is giving someone a ride to church who would struggle to get here otherwise. What gift has the Holy Spirit given you to embrace for the sake of others? What service has the Holy Spirit called you to for the sake of others? Or maybe God is working mightily in you in a more personal way. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working in you to overcome some unforgiveness or grudge. Maybe he's working in you to effect a healing from some form of trauma, physical, mental, spiritual. Maybe he's working in you to bring about a more deeply personal relationship with Jesus, or to heal a relationship with a family member, or a friend, or a colleague. These gifts, these forms of service, these workings of the Holy Spirit, these are the mighty acts of God as well. And we need to find the words to acknowledge them so that we can proclaim them and live them out. When the Holy Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit gifting you and calling you to service and working in you? And one of the ways that we can clue in to the presence of the Holy Spirit is to pay attention to what St. Paul refers to as the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the signs of his presence and working. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, one of the most powerful fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So we can always look at where we're experiencing an abundance of life, but needs to be done within the context of these fruits. So here's the homework for the week as we launch into ordinary time, asking the Lord to order our lives by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Write down the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You can look them up in Galatians chapter 5. And spend some time in prayer this week discerning where you see these fruits in your life so that you can see more clearly the gifts and the services and the workings that the Holy Spirit is doing in you.